Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, How knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God, or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why go ye about to kill me? The people answered and said, Thou hast a devil. Who goeth about to kill thee? Jesus answered and said unto them, I have done one work, and ye all marvel. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers, and ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken. Are you angry at me, because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Then said some of them of Jerusalem, Is not this he whom they seek to kill? But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? Howbeit we know this man whence he is, but when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. Then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, Ye both know me, and ye know whence I am. And I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not. But I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me. Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come. And many of the people believed on him and said, When Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done? The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests and officers to take him. Then said Jesus unto them, Yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Ye shall seek me, and shall not find me. And where I am, there you cannot come. Then said the Jews among themselves, Whither will he go that we shall not find him? Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? What manner of saying is this, that he said, Ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, there you cannot come? We'll end the reading there at the end of verse 36. We look to the Lord for his blessing upon the reading of his word. Last week, as we looked at Jesus and John, we were looking at some important facts regarding salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ said to these unbelieving Jews, All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Jesus reminded them and us that salvation finds its source in God. All the Father hath given me shall come to me. Jesus wasn't surprised at the lack of interest in the hearts of these people. After all, they were more concerned about their physical needs than they were with the eternal welfare of their souls. And yet Jesus reminded them that they would not frustrate the plan and the purposes of God. God is calling out a people unto himself. Salvation has been purchased. It's available to all, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There are those who are coming to Christ this evening. They're getting saved and they're bound for heaven. The important thing is that you are numbered amongst them. Of course, salvation offers security with God. Jesus said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." Coming to Christ demands a response. It demands a personal response. It demands an urgent response. And that response will be evidenced by repentance toward God and by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter how great the sin, nor how burdened the sinner. Jesus will receive that sinner and set him or her free. It doesn't matter what our age or our background or our religious upbringing. Jesus Christ will take us just as we are, for he will refuse none of us. It might well be that as you've listened to God's word in recent weeks and months, and sadly for some of you over many, many years, that you've been thinking about this whole matter of salvation and you want someday to do something about it. It just doesn't seem that for you tonight that this matter is of the utmost urgency. You'd like to be saved. Someday you hope to be saved, but not just yet. You're still thinking things through. You're still thinking about this great matter, but at the moment, you just feel that you've got plenty of time. Well, as we come tonight to John chapter 7, I want you to note a time when it will be too late for you to find Christ. A time when it will be too late for you to find Christ. At the end of John chapter 6, Jesus concludes that great discourse on the bread of life. He had come that they might find the need of their hungry souls to be met in him. He had made them aware of their great salvation, but they just could not grasp it. He had revealed to them their true nature. He had reminded them that they were helplessly and hopelessly lost, but they would not believe in him. In fact, Jesus Christ himself said, "You will not come to me that you might have life." After that experience, we told in John 7 that Jesus went up to the Feast of Tabernacles. He began to teach the people certain things about himself and about them. They were amazed, and so they should have been, for Jesus Christ had something very solemn to say to them. And although what he said was directed to the Pharisees and the chief priests and the officers that they sent to take Christ, there's a word tonight in season for every single one of us. For here's the words that the Lord Jesus Christ speaks in verses 33 and 34. "Yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. You shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, there you cannot come." What a solemn, solemn pronouncement. You shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, there you cannot come. Friends, the Lord Jesus Christ reminds your heart and mind this evening, there is coming a time when it will be too late to find Christ. Note with me here the tragedy concerning their searching. Jesus has already revealed himself to them as their Messiah, God's anointed one. He was the one whom God had sent into the world to be their Savior. He is the one who had come to deliver them from their sin and to set them free from the clutches of Satan. He was the one who had come to bring them out of darkness and despair and to bring them into a true relationship with God. And yet, despite everything that the Lord Jesus Christ had said to them, and despite every miracle that he had performed before them, they were not prepared to accept him for who he was or for all that he said about himself. And the greatest tragedy is this, that these people were genuinely looking for a deliverer. They were genuinely awaiting the Messiah. They were genuinely looking for him. that set their heart on the hope of Israel, and yet he's with them all the time. He's standing in their midst. He's proclaiming the word of God to them. He is performing miracles that authenticated who he really was. And even though Jesus was in the midst of them, they would not come to him that they might have life. You see, as a nation, they got it wrong. They were looking for a political deliverance instead of a spiritual deliverance. They were looking for a warrior king instead of a sin bearer. They were searching for him. But in the midst of their cold and formal religion, they didn't recognize him for who he was and for what he had come to do. And Jesus Christ uses the situation for spiritual gain, and he says to them, look, for a little while I'll be with you, but then I'm going on to him that sent me, and you shall seek for me and shall not find me. And where I am, there you cannot come. They were confused about that. They began to talk among themselves, wondering, did Jesus mean that he was simply going to slip away out of their midst? Did he mean that he was going to go to the Gentiles and discuss with them these matters that he had already brought to their attention? The reality is that Jesus Christ was thinking of something more important and something more solemn than that. He knew that he would soon go by way of the cross. He must die for the sin of the world. He knew that he would rise again from the dead. He was ascend back to heaven. He would sit down at the right hand of the Majesty on High in the very place that was rightfully his before he came into the world to seek and to save that which was lost. And one day they would awaken to their sense of need. But Jesus says on that day it would be too late, because he would be gone from them. He would be out of reach. And as a result of that, it would be too late for them to find Christ. That would be a terrible tragedy, wouldn't it? If any man or woman should have a sense of need, know they need salvation, but to find that the Savior's out of reach and that the door of opportunity is closed, and it's closed forever. Forever. That's why the Bible tells you and me of the urgency of this great matter of salvation. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Because this is the only day that any one of us are guaranteed. Young or old, it doesn't matter. This is the only time we're guaranteed. The prophet says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And I think that some of you need to understand the urgency of all of this. There may well be only a step between you and death. There's a great need for you to be saved, and for you to be saved now. Because there's every danger that you will trifle with your soul and continue on in your sin. And you may well miss this great day of opportunity. You might be saying to me tonight, hold on a moment, Pastor. Are you genuinely saying to me that there might well come a time when it will be too late for me to find Christ? Yes. And you might be saying to me, but when will that time come? Well, let me suggest to you three very simple things. It will be too late for you to find Christ, first of all, when you have a hardened heart. You see, every time you listen to the message of the gospel, and God in his grace gives you the opportunity to sit and to hear words whereby you might receive, every time you hear that message of the gospel being brought to you, you are either becoming harder or softer to the claims of Christ. You're either thinking seriously about this important matter, and you're thinking seriously about getting saved, or you're becoming more stubborn by every meeting and by every message, and you're saying tonight, I will not have this man to rule over me. Some people say, I can't understand how people can come in and out of a meeting and it makes no impact on them. Well, I don't believe that. Because I do believe that it has an impact on them. It either makes them think more seriously about their soul and about this matter of salvation, or they harden their hearts and they simply go through the motions and they sit on meeting after meeting with no thought of God, with no thought of God's salvation, until the day comes their hearts are so hard they just don't have any interest or appetite for spiritual things. I think of a man that we read of in the scriptures who had a hard heart, who defied God, who said that he would never have God to rule over him, but he was to learn a very solemn lesson. He defied God, wouldn't listen to his voice, and he paid a heavy price. The man's name's Pharaoh. Because as I look at this man's life and I see how that God dealt with him, I know that he failed to obey God and he lost his son. He failed to obey God and he lost his throne. But he failed to obey God and he lost his soul. He once said, who is the Lord that I should obey him and let his people go? And he continued to harden his heart. And God dealt with him. And he lost everything. God has been speaking to you in recent nights, or in recent days in your own heart or home, about the eternal destination of your soul. Friend, don't harden your heart. Repent of your sin and trust the Lord Jesus Christ while you still have time. Don't allow the devil to tell you that you have plenty of time, because that's not true. Think seriously and realize that the words of a hymn writer are true. O sinner, God's patience may weary someday, and leave thy sad soul in the blast by willful resistance. You've drifted away over the deadline at last. I went to see a man on one occasion, and we talked about all kinds of niceties, and then I turned around and I said to this man, tell me, sir, are you saved? And he smiled and he looked at me. He said, what do I tell you something, son? He said, I've heard all the best preachers in this land. And he mentioned to them by name, one after another, of all kinds of evangelists who had given their lives in this land to bring the gospel to those who'd never heard. And he listed them all one after another. And I said, yes, all of them, and you're still not saved. Because his heart was hard. And he just got to the stage where the message went in through one ear and out through the other. And up until that moment of time, he'd never thought seriously about his sin nor his soul. It'll be too late for you to find Christ when you have a hard heart. It'll be too late for you to find Christ, secondly, when you've tasted death. Contrary to the opinion of many today, man's not here to stay. Every one of us are dying. Every one of us. The last enemy will have to be faced. Death will come and snatch us away. And you and I will be ushered out into the great eternity, and then it will be too late. Too late for you to find Christ. The day of opportunity will be gone. The day of God's mercy and grace will have passed. You may not believe this tonight, but how you live will determine how you die. And how you die will determine where you'll be in eternity. Contrary to the opinion of modern man, heaven and hell are realities. You will either spend the whole of eternity in heaven with Christ, or else you'll spend it in hell without him. Death is appointed and it's approaching. And when the angel of death comes and it carries you away, and it will, it's going to be too late for you to find Christ. I hear some of you saying, hold on a moment, Pastor, I have plenty of time. I'm young, I'm healthy. I'm bouncing out of my skin at the moment. I have a whole life ahead of me. You see, that's the thing about this thing called death. There are none of us here tonight who know when we'll die, or where we'll die, or how we'll die, or how soon we'll die. None of us. And that's why we need to prepare to meet God now, because this is the only time we're guaranteed. In a beautiful Alpine village many years ago, a wedding had just taken place. The young couple were from well-known families in the village, and so the whole family, the whole village were invited to come to help them to celebrate this special occasion. The meal was just finished and the dance floor was buzzing to the sound of music, when unknown to the people there, there was a stir up on the mountainside behind them. In a moment of time, an avalanche swept down the mountain. They came so suddenly and without any warning whatsoever that the entire village was wiped out in a moment of time, and there were no survivors. Then you can be sure about this. There's not many things in life you can be sure about, but this is one of them. The death is on its way. One of these days it's going to snatch you away. And I have to ask you tonight, when it does, will you be in heaven with Christ? Or will you be in hell without that? Is it too late for you to find Christ if you have a hardened heart? When you've tasted death? Or thirdly, when the Lord will come, and he is coming. One of these days the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. In fact, as we look around us at the world in which we live and see all that's happening, there's no doubt that Scripture is true, that the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. The Lord Jesus Christ said something interesting about that. He said many things interesting about it, but let me just quote you one. He said to his discouraged disciples in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That tells me that not only is the Lord Jesus Christ coming again, but he's coming for a prepared people, to take them to a place that he has prepared for them. The Lord Jesus bore this out in the parable of the 10 virgins. He spoke of 5 who were ready and waiting, and 5 who were unprepared, and the bridegroom came, and the door was shut fast, and they cried out, Lord, open unto us. And his response was, I know you not. They were caught out. They were caught on. And it just might be the same with you when the Lord comes. That's why the hymn writer says, be in time, be in time. When the voice of Jesus calls you, be in time. If in sin you longer wait, you may find no open gate, and your cry be just
too late. Be in time. Do you know something? Do you see that cry, too late? It could be written across the tombstone of so many men and women and young people who died without Christ and who died without hope and who have gone out into the depth of a Christless hell, always believing that one day they'd sort it out. But in hell their cry is too late. Too late. It will be too late for you when you have a hardened heart, when you've tasted death, and when the Lord returns. Jesus says, "You shall seek me and shall not find me." The tragedy concerning their searching. I would also hear the truth concerning their separation. For here's also what the Lord Jesus Christ says, "You shall seek me and shall not find me. And where I am, there you cannot come." I wanted to ponder that for a moment. The Lord Jesus Christ is soon to go by way of the cross. He's going to go to that cross because there he will suffer and bleed and die for sinners just like us. He's going to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. We're helpless, hopeless, condemned in our sin, but Christ has come and has given himself on the cross to die for our sins and to deal with those sins in their entirety. And then, having tasted death for every man, he's going to be buried and rise again on the third day. He's going to rise triumphantly, show himself alive by many infallible proofs, and then they're going to watch him as he ascends before them and he goes back to heaven to sit down in the place of supreme authority. And he looks at these chief scribes and priests and he says to them, "And where I am, there you cannot come." What a tragedy. He had told them who he was, but they didn't believe him. He had told them why he'd come, but they couldn't see it. He had offered to them life that was abundant, life that was eternal, but they couldn't grasp it, and they wouldn't come to him. And Jesus says, "The day's coming, and you're going to come and look for me, but I'm not going to be here. I'll be in heaven, and where I am, you cannot come. You cannot come. I'll be gone, and I'll be back in heaven in the place that was rightfully mine, and you'll be looking for me, and your day of opportunity's gone. And where I am, you cannot come." Is that how it's going to be for you? Despite the pleadings of the preacher night after night, despite the goodness of God in speaking to you about this great matter of salvation, despite the fact that God, through circumstances in your own life or home, has spoken to you recently and has pointed you on the way home to heaven, but you just will not come. There may well be a time when you'll want to come and you can't. Some people think they're going to be in heaven by default. That cannot be. Some people think they'll get to heaven in their own way. That's impossible. It's always the way of the cross that leads home. And some people tonight, sadly, are convinced that they're on their way home to heaven. And the reality is that the very flames of hell are burning in the soles of their feet, and they don't know it. They just don't know it. I want you to grasp this as I close tonight. I take no delight in saying this, but you will never ever be in heaven unless you're a saved sinner. You will never be in heaven until and unless you have repented of your sin and trusted Christ as your Savior. You will never be in heaven unless you come by way of the cross, and you come now, and of all your sins washed away in the precious blood that Christ shed freely on the cross. You say to me, Pastor, I'm going to come. Not tonight, but I'm going to come. Also, take heed, ere the shadow fall and the day of grace be past. For how shall a trembling sinner stand by the gates of hell at last? I want to be saved, Pastor, but not tonight. Well, the problem is I can't guarantee tomorrow, neither can you. You're still in time tonight. Tomorrow it might be forever too late. You're still in time tonight, and you could be saved and start out for heaven, but you could also trail your feet and miss this day of opportunity. And when you least expected it, you could be ushered out into the caverns of the doomed and the damned. You say, Pastor, but despite all my privileges, that's the point. That's the point. That's what you don't seem to grasp. You don't seem to understand the privileges you've been given. You don't seem to understand the opportunity that you have. You don't seem to understand the urgency of the matter. You don't seem to understand that today you're in time, tomorrow you might be in eternity, but eternity where? For Jesus says, yet a little while and I'm with you. And then I go unto him that sent me. You shall seek me and shall not find me. And where I am, there you cannot come. If you forget everything else I've said tonight, you remember this. There is a time when it will be too late for you to find Christ. And that's why I urge you, with every bone in my body and every breath that I have, don't fool about with your soul, and don't continue on in your sin. You could be saved tonight. You could be lost tomorrow. You could be saved tonight. You could be lost tomorrow. You'll never have a better opportunity to get saved. For Jesus, for your choice, is waiting. Will you trust him? Will you deal with this issue once and for all, even though you might not understand everything that has been said? Will you talk it over with the preacher or the friend that brought you out to church tonight? Will you make sure that you're bound for heaven? Because if you're not, you might one day open up your eyes in hell, being in torment, and wishing for the whole of eternity you had to grasp the opportunity and trusted Christ when God in his mercy and grace offered that Savior to you. What's it to be? A time when it's too late to find Christ. Let's bow together for a moment in prayer. Let's just take that moment to gather our thoughts. Gives you the opportunity to think about where you are and where you're heading. Pastor, I want to get saved, then get saved tonight. You'll never have a better opportunity. But the truth is, you might never have another opportunity. So come to the Savior, make no delay. Here in his word, he has shown us the way. Here in our midst, he's standing today. And tenderly saying, come. If I can help you come tonight, don't leave this meeting without saying to me or someone else, but don't go home without a Savior. Our Father, these have been some very solemn issues. Issues that we need to consider that we cannot avoid. And we pray that in your grace and mercy you'll speak to all our hearts. And when the voice of Jesus calls us, that each one will be in time. Do the work we cannot do by your Spirit, draw some to Christ this evening for their eternal good. And for your glory alone. We ask it in the Savior's name. Amen.